Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Thursday. We're almost there. Thank you so much for joining me today here on WBEN. Exciting first segment for everyone out there. We're talking about what will soon be the former Highmark Stadium. And the reason we have to say former is because the new stadium, also Highmark Stadium. And we are talking this segment with the authors of the new book hitting shelves, or have hit shelves, One Bills Drive, the Buffalo Bills' greatest home games between 1973 and 2025. Bud Bailey and Greg Tranter. Fellas, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Pleasure.
Greg, starting with you, what was the inspiration to get this thing up and rolling?
Well, I was really interested in doing some kind of book about the stadium back in 2021, anticipating their 50th anniversary of the stadium. And so I surveyed a group of football historians that are members of the Pro Football Researchers Association of Western New York and basically asked them to give me what are your top games that you've ever seen at the stadium. Then I kind of put it on the shelf. I didn't end up doing a 50th anniversary book. And then I approached Bud this past January and said, hey, Bud, the stadium's closing. How about we do a book about the greatest games played there? And he was very enthusiastic. And so we started writing stories.
Bud, what did the beginning of this conversation look like? How did you start getting games on the list?
Well, Greg had a basic list of great games that we started with, as he said, and then we went through the previous few years from the 2025 standpoint to come up with additions to that list over the past 4 years. So we came up with 86 games that could have been in the book. All right, and we said, all right, that's a little unrealistic. No one wants to read that much. So we decided to cut down to 50, and we both voted for our 50 best games. And almost remarkably, 47 of them matched. So I said to Greg, we got no problems here. We can get to 50 really easily, which we did. So and then it was just a matter of eventually ranking them. But realistically, the rankings are all in fun and not, you know, the definitive word on it. But we wanted to get what we thought were the best 50 games in the book.
Can you share with us what missed out at 51?
Ooh, there were a few of them. And Greg, do you remember what was 51?
I don't remember 51. The one I remember that I hated to give up was the 2014 game between the Bills and the Vikings, and Sammy Watkins caught a touchdown pass with 2 seconds left, and we won by 1 point.
Oh.
And that one didn't make the list. So that was one that I definitely remember was close to the cutoff point.
You know, Greg, looking at the book, I mean, you do have a number of games during the drought. I mean, you have one of the most heartbreaking games, I think, as any Bills fan during the drought in early 2005. But when you're looking at those drought games, what went into those rankings? Because, you know, that's 17 years of just heartbreak at that stadium.
Yeah, I mean, we were looking for meaningful games, meaningful outcomes, right? So like the 2003 game that the Bills beat the Patriots 31-0, right? That was very remembrance, even though it was during the drought. Like, everybody remembers that game because we hardly ever beat the Patriots, right? So it was games like that that we thought significantly stood out more so to the fans than maybe the historical relevance of the game. And of course, as you note, we thought it was very important to include games that the Bills lost that were meaningful and maybe some of the most painful for Bills fans.
I mean, there's a game on this list that the Bills lost that is the reason I don't like the Bills wearing the standing Buffalo jerseys on Monday night.
Yes.
It never brings us any luck.
Joe, let me just jump in on that. Yeah. I just looked, and there's three games from the years from 2000 to 2009 that are included, and two of them are losses. So I think that says a lot about how that decade went for the Bills.
It sure does. You know, but looking at that, you know, because, I mean, that 17 years, the Bills make the playoffs when I'm in fifth grade and don't make the playoffs again until I'm a year before I turn 30. so, you know, people my age, they're going to remember that building for, you know, the games. And, yeah, there were some great games during that time. They're going to remember that drought. But if we look at the Bills' history throughout this building, yeah, there have been some great years. But even outside of the drought, there have been some tough seasons while the Bills have been playing at Highmark Stadium.
Yeah, take it from a guy who covered some games in the late 70s before Chuck Knox got here, and then in the 80s before Jim Kelly arrived. I spent a lot of time in losing locker rooms, let's put it that way, and bleak losing locker rooms. And somebody asked me if Joe Dufek was in the book, who was one of the starting quarterbacks in the really bad years of the mid-80s, and said, well, couldn't find a reason to get him included, actually.
Well, I got to tell you... I got to tell you guys, I was teasing the segment with Bella Villa in the last segment, and he brought up a game that surprisingly is in the book, November 22nd, 1981. He remembers that as he tells it, it was won on a Hail Mary.
Yes, long pass to Roland Hooks in the last seconds won the game, and I remember that specifically because I was doing radio work then, and in that situation, when it goes down to the last minute, I called in a report complete explaining how the Patriots had beaten the Bills and told them, as soon as the game is over, air it. And, of course, that play happened, so what did I have to do but call back the network and say, kill that story, don't let it run, let me give you a new one. You know, that's the frantic life of a radio broadcaster in that situation. But, you know, that was a terrific game, as it turned out, and obviously Roland Hooks, maybe best moment.
You know, Bud, you mentioned, you know, some of the tougher years, and when the stadium first opened, I noticed the first game in the book is a preseason game, and it's funny because I've done, you know, what will your memory be of Highmark Stadium, and a lot of people call in saying they remember as a kid going and getting a coin at the gate, or, you know, getting some kind of memorabilia from that first preseason game at the stadium. What was the vibe when this stadium opened, and how does it compare to what's ramping up for the new stadium?
Well, I think it's a different feeling. I did not go to the first game, but my mother did, oddly enough, and she had a seat in the top row, one row from the second to last row in the upper deck, so she could practically see Lake Erie from there. And she got there in the second quarter because the traffic was so bad. And what she and everybody else would remember about that game, it was Buffalo Bills are here to stay. They're not going anywhere. And there was some doubt until that stadium was actually completed, because War Memorial Stadium had obviously deteriorated. This one, I think it was almost like, well, you're not going to move the Bills because the team is so well settled and doing so well now. It's just a matter of getting a facility that's up to date. So in that sense, it's a different situation, but there's still a lot of excitement about the new place.
Greg, decades from now, when people are looking back on Buffalo sports history, how will this building be remembered?
I think it'll really be twofold. One, what you guys just talked about, that, you know, this really put Buffalo into the major leagues and that the team was going to be here for a long time. The second is we're still the only team in NFL history to go to four consecutive Super Bowls and win four consecutive AFC championships. And three of those four were won at home. They were won here. And then, of course, people are always going to remember the greatest comeback. So, I mean, I think there was a lot of thrills and spells. And also, I think people will remember the tailgating experience, because at the old War Memorial Stadium, there wasn't really a tailgating experience. And then with the big parking lots and everything, you know, the tailgating experience is ultimately what's led to Bills Mafia.
For sure. It's where Bills Mafia was born, at the first Highmark Stadium.
Right, exactly.
Hey, Bud, looking back through these games and, you know, obviously spanning the lifetime of the building, that Bills-Patriots game, I read your guys' section on that, and let me tell you, I feel my fingers going numb again. I mean, that was such an important game because, yes, the Bills had made the playoffs at home the year before, but only so many people could go. This was the first time in forever that building was rocking for a wild card playoff game. I mean, that is a game that I think people are going to remember forever.
Yeah, I think so. And just going through, as I said, with 86 games that we said could have been in the book, there are a lot of great memories there. And the funny thing is, you know, but in a probably a couple of years from now, we're going to be standing by the new stadium and look across the street and see a parking lot and say, you know, I had a lot of fun over there. And you know, it's going to be an odd feeling just to see a parking lot and all that, but times change, and the new place will have its own good memories in a matter of moments.
I want to ask you both this question, Bud, starting with you. You know, I love the current stadium. You know, so many people are excited to move to the new stadium, and don't get me wrong, I'll be excited once it's there, but you know, you look at the stadium and it's not the stadium of every other NFL team. It's in its own way has character, you know what I mean? Like, in its own way, it is its own stadium apart from the other ones, and I'll tell you, I'm going to miss that. What about you?
I think my feelings are kind of like the ones I had were for Memorial Auditorium when the new place was getting ready to be built. And I had so many good times in at the Odd, hockey, basketball, concerts, whatever. And it's an emotional moment to say goodbye to it. But on the other hand, the place was falling apart. And we obviously needed a new structure, and it served its purpose well for 56 years. And now this stadium is about to die, and you know, there were episodes of severe problems with the infrastructure there, and I think we can say to that stadium, well, a job well done. It's time to move on to the next one.
Greg, what about you? What do you think about this building and its character?
Yeah, so for me, it's going to be a major loss because I've basically spent my life there. I've been a season ticket holder for many, many years. I've spent just about every Sunday that they're home at that place, and I grew up there. I mean, I think I went to my first game there at 16 years old, and now I'm in my 60s. So I have just, I mean, that's football to me. That's Bills football. You know, I'm sure I'll like the new place, but I'm going to shed a tear to walk out of the old place for the last time, I can tell you. There's a lot of fan emotion in this place, and I'm just so much hoping we can win the AFC Championship there and go to the Super Bowl this year, because that would be the perfect way to close the stadium.
Well, they better, because I have a wedding the day before the AFC Championship game in Winston-Salem, and I have a flight that's getting back on ground in Buffalo at 11 a.m., so my whole day is planned around the Bills being in that game at Highmark Stadium.
That's good. I'm glad.
You know, Greg, I got
to
say,
we'll have to rewrite the book if that happens, of course.
Hey, it's like when someone can't get a track in on time as a musician and they have to do the bonus copy of the CD. I think you guys should have that ready to go. Greg, I have to say, I agree with you a lot about going to that stadium. It's the only NFL, you know, outside. I mean, I've gone to other ones, but that's when I think of the Bills, I think of that building. And, you know, I sit up in the nosebleeds. I'm five rows from being out of the stadium. And what I'm going to miss, outside the games, obviously, is my view of downtown. Like, the new building will not give me that. Like, I am going to miss that. And I'll tell you, the last game of that stadium is, I'm going to be looking at that view from my seats for the very last time. And it's going to be emotional.
Yes, without question. Yeah, there's just been so many, you know, wonderful games there, wonderful experiences. And like I said, too, the tailgate experience, I mean, it's not just a football game. It's a big community event every Sunday home game. And I'm sure the new stadium will have a similar vibe. I do worry a little bit about, you know, will Bills Mafia be able to really afford to go to the new stadium? I certainly hope so, because to me, that's what makes Buffalo unique.
Greg Tran.
Tip when you go to your last game there.
Yes.
Make sure you can see it and take a picture because, you know, it's been known to snow in Orchard Park and that view can be obscured.
That's a great point. You know, Sunday, I am going to make sure I get that picture for one last time. Hey, I thought of a last question because of something you said, Bud, talking about the odd. How, in your mind, does the odd compare to the stadium for Buffalo sports significance?
There's an interesting question, actually. I think the one thing the odd has in its favor is that it had so many different events in there. And the football stadium obviously had 8 or 9 regular season games per year and a couple playoff games here and there. And I think the memories of the odd are a little stronger for that reason. Just so much stuff went on, and people went there in anticipation of a good time. With the Bills, I think it was just a different story because it was mostly football. Yeah, there were some concerts there, but it's mostly remembered as a football facility, and I guess that's the difference between the two for me.
Yeah, I get that. Greg, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm more of a football guy than you know, hockey or the other sports that were played in the arena, you know. So to me, I just have a much stronger connection, you know, to the football stadium.
Greg Tranter and Bud Bailey. Guys, thank you so much. Great book, by the way. Really appreciated looking through this, from games that I'm too young to remember and to games that when I read through the summary, it's like I'm right back in the middle of the drought. But I really, really appreciate the read, and I appreciate you guys joining me. And if that AFC championship game does happen, I'm looking forward to the bonus coverage.
Right, appreciate Joe, this, Joe. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Again, that's Greg Tranter and Bud Bailey. The book is One Bills Drive, the Buffalo Bills' Greatest Home Games, 1973 through 2025. And it's a great book. I've been flipping through it the last few days, getting ready for this interview. And it was interesting when Bellavia brought up that Patriots-Bills game from 81 because it made the top 50 games. The game that David remembers is page 31 in the book, November 22nd, 1981. The Bills win 2017, and you can hear, as soon as I mentioned it, Bud knew exactly what had happened in that game, and you know, David was there, remembered the Hail Mary. So in the next segment, I want to know what you're going to remember the stadium for, and it doesn't have to be football, because there were concerts there. Again, I've heard people talk about this awful Rolling Stones concert where it was the worst they had ever seen them. And then you'll talk to someone else and they say, no, it was actually a great concert. I'd love to hear about that. 803-0930, star 930. What are your memories of Rich Stadium, Ralph Wilson Stadium, New Era Field, Highmark Stadium, whatever you want to call it? What are your memories of that building? And you know what? I will throw a similar question that I didn't even think of until Bud mentioned the odd. How does your memories of Highmark Stadium compare to your memories of the odd? I'll tell you this, the stadium in Orchard Park, when it's demolished, will not leave a lasting impression as the odd has downtown. 803-0930, star 930. It's Beamer on News Radio 930, WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Mm-hmm. That's what they say. Welcome back. Oh, it's Joe Beamer. It's on a Thursday here on News Radio 930 WBEN. I had gone all week without saying those forbidden words, but well, we have to reset the counter, you know? Number of days without incident. Back to zero. 803-0930, star 930. So we're talking about Highmark Stadium, Ralph Wilson Stadium, Rich Stadium, New Era Field, however you want to refer to the building the Bills play football in for just a few more games in Orchard Park. I want to know what your memories of the stadium are, as we just talked with the two authors of One Bills Drive, the Buffalo Bills' greatest games between 73 and 25, and bringing back a lot of memories for people. We're seeing a lot of that on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. But like I said, we can take this further than just football. And what does that stadium symbolize? Because as, you know, people point out, back then, there was a real threat that the Bills would not be in Buffalo, that the Bills would leave. Now, again, you have people that claim that threat was here this time without evidence. And by the way, if there's any evidence, we'll take it, and I will amend my comment. But I think most people feel comfortable the Bills are going to stay in Buffalo. And don't get me wrong, I drive by and see that new stadium. It looks beautiful. I can't wait to go to the new stadium and see a game next year. But I'm one of these people. I'm going to miss the stadium. You know, I am not Mr. Stuck in the past. Believe me. However, you know, it's the my first Bills game, my first NFL game was in that stadium. I've had season tickets forever now. Right, minus the 2 years I didn't. And, you know, as Greg said, I mean, that's Sundays when the Bills are home. That place is my life, right? That's where I am. Tailgate, going to the game, afterwards, because I park so far from the stadium. Like, I love that stadium. And I think it has a lot of, I mean, it is, because of how old it is distinct from other NFL stadiums, right? You know, Highmark Stadium, that place gets loud. That place gets definitely loud. I mean, the Buffalo Bills fan base is more like a college football fan base than an NFL fan base, and it's amazing. Like, I love it. And it is where the Bills Mafia was born during the drought at this stadium. And yeah, there's been a lot of ups and downs as the Bills have played in this building. I mean, the drought for 17 years, you know, until recently, that was a majority of my life. And now this this Bills team for the last few years that have been one of the best in the NFL. And then, yes, for the longest time, it was also a concert venue, bringing in a lot of shows. I mean, there was a while there were no shows, but there were a ton of shows back in the day. And the last few years they've been trying their best to bring a show or two throughout the summer. And is it the best concert venue? I would say no. But it is a concert venue. It seats the most people. And we have been fortunate to see some pretty big shows come through here. Now, with that said, you know, we hear so much about the stadium, the new stadium, not going to be completed until December of 26. Not that the Bills will not be playing there beforeward, which is not a word, before then. But would they bring a concert over the summer if they're still putting some finishing touches on? I have a feeling, and call me crazy, I have a feeling they're going to do one last concert at the current Highmark Stadium. Maybe I'm way off. I've been known to be wrong before. But I think you may see one more in the current Highmark Stadium before they move across the street. 803-0930, star 930. Diane is in Tonawanda. Diane, what's your memory at Highmark Stadium?
Hi. My first memory is of the Rolling Stones in 1975 at Rich Stadium.
Now, was that a good show or a bad show?
It was an awesome show.
Now, who was...
It was an awesome show. It also had a few other bands, which I don't remember all of them, but the tickets were $10.
Oh, my gosh. Which was probably like a really expensive show back then.
You know what? And when the Stones came here again, I don't know, what is it, 5 years ago, whatever it was, I could have sold my, because I still have my stub ticket. You used to get tickets in the day, right?
Yeah.
I could have sold it for $100.
Wow.
People were paying $100 for your stubs from 75.
That's amazing. Now, when you went in 75, had that been your first time to that stadium?
Oh, yeah. I was 15.
So what do you, when you viewed the stadium at 15 during the Rolling Stones to now, how's your view of that stadium change?
I don't really see the change. I know they've made changes, but I also didn't realize when we went that the stadium was only a couple years old or 3 years old at that point.
Because it seemed older?
Well, no, it didn't seem older. I just had no idea that it was almost like this brand new stadium.
Yeah, it was the pride of the NFL back then.
We had no idea. You know, we're 15, we're going to a concert, so.
Now, Diane, just so you know, the opening acts were Bobby Womack and the Outlaws.
Bobby Womack, I don't know that group.
AI could be lying to me. That would be what we're talking about next segment. But according to AI, that's who the opening act was for the Rolling Stones. Now, Diane, would you say that Highmark Stadium was a good concert venue, or was it just that you saw a good concert act?
Oh, I loved it. We went to many concerts there. That was just my first. We saw Yes there and Genesis, I believe, and a lot of concerts. You go right on the floor and you wait there at 6 a.m. They open up, you get on the floor. You're only like, if you had rows, you'd be like maybe 20 rows back on the floor with your blankets, with your coolers, with everything.
That's amazing, because now everything is just so structured, even at a concert at the stadium. And it's funny because everyone talks about all these great shows that went through there. You mentioned Yes, and we know Elton John had been there. I think the Grateful Dead had been there, and then they went this long time where there were no shows at the stadium. It was crazy. Like most of the 2000s, and I think almost all of the 2010s, not one concert at the stadium. It was really weird.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. I am at that age where I would not be going to the stadium anymore for concerts. We like other venues like Klein Hands and the Riviera, whatever. But we had a blast in our day. We also went to many, many, many football games, all during Kelly days. So I do have a lot of fond memories, and I still call it Rich Stadium.
Oh, of course. It's like there are times where I still refer to the building downtown as HSBC Arena. I mean, it's just, you call it so much, so often, it's tough to remember the change. Diane, appreciate the call. Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Diane in Tonawanda. Yeah, I mean, that is the thing. There were a ton of great shows at the stadium, and you hear these acts that came to the stadium, and then you're my age, or you're a little bit younger, and you're like, man, they went so long. I remember I saw, and if you've listened to me, this is not surprising to you. We went as a family to the Pop Odyssey Tour, that's NSYNC, at Highmark Stadium. And I feel like after that concert, there wasn't another concert there until like 2016. I mean, it was over a decade where you were not hearing about concerts at the stadium, which is weird because it was such a concert, a concert venue in the 70s and the 80s and even, I mean, the 90s. And we all know about the big George Strait concert in 2000. But it does seem like the stadium took a back seat to concerts for a long time, to the point where, like, I still, when Luke Combs was at the stadium a few years ago, that was surprising to me because, what, Highmark's Buffalo? Because it had been so long since someone had performed there. 803-0930, star 930. is the number to get on. It's also the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Looking at the text board, my very first concert at Rich Stadium was in 1981. I was 10 years old and got to see my favorite band ever, the Rolling Stones. Loved it. The only thing I laugh at now, the horrible smelly smoke. Yes, and you smell that more often now, not just at concerts. It used to be that smell was only at concerts, especially Dave Matthews concerts and the Grateful Dead. Now, you could just be walking to work downtown and you get that smell. You know, another thing I'll remember, and you could say this for the Odd too. I mean, it was, you know, there will never be a time where it will be legal to smoke in your seat at the new stadium. But I am old enough to remember when you could smoke inside Rich Stadium. You could bring a thermos inside the stadium. Do you remember that? And then, I mean, it got to the point where, no, you can't smoke in your seat, but they were still smoking corners of the stadium. And then I remember when they finally said you cannot smoke anywhere within the stadium. And that was huge. You had people handing out nicotine gum in the bathrooms. Because it was such, you know, there were people that, I mean, that was their routine. I've got my first quarter, my second quarter. We'll smoke at halftime. We'll have the thermos. I've got a drink here. Go get me a Coca-Cola. You know, I mean, and you'll never be able to say that about the new building. Same with the Odd. I mean, you go to an event at the Odd, you're walking through a cloud of tobacco smoke. Can't say that about the arena. Never happened. So, interesting. I mean, that's, again, not a main memory of mine, but one thing that is certainly factual about Rich Stadium. And yes, the games. I mean, the last few years, obviously, have brought some very memorable games. I mean, the Baltimore game to kick off the season was the memorable comeback. A lot of people, I have made a promise that they will never leave a game early again because of that Bengals game. Right? You've got the Bills defeating the Chiefs in the regular season. You know, unfortunately, if you look at the top 50 games of the book here, you know, you've got the Tyler Bass missed field goal that gave the Chiefs another playoff victory against the Bills. Obviously, the snow game, and I remember that game like it was yesterday. So the snow game 2017, this is when I had two seats. You know, I at the time was not dating anyone. I wasn't married yet, obviously. Would be weird if I was dating someone and I was married, but, you know, I'm not in politics. So that game, I'll never forget it. Number one, because of the snow and the significance of the game. But, you know, I couldn't find anyone to go to that game with me. I went to that game by myself. Now, I sat with a bunch of people that I knew, but I went to that game by myself. And after the first quarter, we were able to move down to the 100 level so you could actually see the field. Turned out to be one of the most important games in franchise history, because that if the Bills don't win that game, they don't go to the playoffs when Andy Dalton beats the Ravens. And the drought is not broken for at least two more years. So that game, you know, at the time was like, oh, it's a, you know, another throwaway Bills season. But again, they don't win that game. And again, you could point back, well, Joe, you know, you could say it was that game if they had lost it. You could say it was Peterman's five turnovers against the Chargers a few weeks earlier. I get your point. But that's a significant game. And it was such a difficult game. You couldn't see the ball, right? The Colts try to win it in the dying seconds. But, you know, snapping the ball and trying to get a kickoff in that weather was proved to be almost impossible. So it you know, there's a lot, you know, looking through this. Like I said last night, I'm looking through this this book, and it's bringing back a lot of memories. The Jags and Bills in 96, the playoff game, turned out to be the last home playoff game until COVID. I was at that game. It took until 2020 to finally see a playoff game again, right? The Bills beating the Patriots 31-0, Drew Bledsoe. We thought the Bills were back. The Patriots are yesterday's story. Who's Tom who? Turned out to just be a great game, right? And then obviously the Steelers-Bills. Heartbreak. Thinking for sure the drought is over. The Bills just have to beat the Steelers' backups. The Steelers' backups aren't going to beat the Bills. The Steelers were literally giving the Bills a pass to go to the playoffs. And it was heartbreak to kick off 2005. But yeah, I'm going to miss that building 100% for the football games, for the concerts. You know, the years that the Wingfest was there. It was a great host. I love that Wingfest is back downtown, don't get me wrong. But it was a great host back to those years that Wingfest was out at the stadium. I love it. I know I'm going to grow to love the new stadium too, right? You gotta move forward. But a lot of great memories in that building. And not just the Bills. I mean, I think a lot of people have personal memories there, you know, of hanging out with friends. We had someone text in. They went on a first date to a Bills game. I mean, like I said, we had a big tailgating crew during the drought, which now the owners of the lot that we used to tailgate in have kind of ruined the experience. But it was we had a big group and the tailgate was kind of the event. And I would always get annoyed because, you know, I'd bring someone and they said, can't we just stay at the tailgate? It's like, no, the Bills are playing. I want to go watch the Bills. Let's go to Jim in North Tonawanda. Jim, what's your Highmark memory?
My number one memory, I was at the game when Joe Ferguson threw the Hail Mary pass to Roland Hooks. We left early. Tens of thousands of us were on our way. Literally tens of thousands of people were leaving. They thought the game was over with. And the area, as we were walking out where I was, this one woman, she had a transistor radio. She started screaming, "We got the ball back!"
That's like when I...
It was nuts. People just turned around by the thousands, Joe. By the thousands, stampeding back in the stadium. The police and the security guys, they just got out of our way. They were getting out of our way to save their own lives. There were that many people stampeding to get back in the stadium.
Oh my gosh. It's funny because, you know, now, no way. They got the fences and everything. There's a lot of people that wanted to go back in against the Ravens, and you had too many people at most of the gates stopping people from going in. But that's funny, Jim. I did not realize that it was to that point where people were sprinting back into the stadium.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you had to keep running. If you did, once you started the stampede, if you stopped, you were dead. They would just run you over. There were thousands of people in front of you, behind you. It was nuts. It was like somebody seeing a movie.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, hey, we're passionate about our football, Jim. Appreciate the call, man. Jim in North Tonawanda. 803-0930, star 930. We'll continue taking your memories on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. When we come back, AI. Seems like every day AI is in the news. I want to tell you about a few experiences I've had with AI and a recent study that backs up what I've been trying to say. And I want to know from you, what is your dependence on AI as we speak, October 30th, 2025? What is your dependence on AI? And have you been fooled online by AI? So we'll get into that when we come back. It's Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN. Yes, hour number two. Thank you so much for joining us and being part of the show. Don't forget to search Joe Beamer on the Odyssey app under the podcast tab and follow the Joe Beamer Show. That would be so, so kind of you. Thank you so much. So yesterday, the last week or so, I have been obsessed with the Taco Bell 50K. Have you heard about this? Anyone out there? It's a 50K run. So it's an ultra marathon. And it's in Denver. And they stop at 10 Taco Bells while running the 50K, which is like 31.2 miles or something. And, you know, I'm thinking, like, can I train for this? Like, you know, I like to run. You know, can't wait for the turkey trot. I'm like, should I do this? Should I bring Tanner along? and should we do the Taco Bell 50K? Now they're doing one in DC as well. They're popping up at other places. So anyway, my obsession with the Taco Bell 50K made me go into ChatGPT, and I'm going to tell you exactly what I said to ChatGPT. I said, in the spirit of the Taco Bell 50K, map out a Mighty Taco 50K in Buffalo. And they did. It was pretty in detail, right? It said, you know, where to start, 31.4 miles total. There'll be 7 Mighty Tacos along the way. Seven Mighty Tacos along the way. And it wrote up rules, and it drew me a map, and it said specifics of each stop. Great stuff, right? Until you go and study. Now, I'm not taking away that that's impressive that a computer did that, and, you know, 75% of the stuff is accurate. That's very impressive, and, you know, I'm amazed by it. Like, I'm not going to get rid of this chain. It's pretty cool. Here's the thing. When I went back to look at the numbers, to map it into my own map, to see could this actually work, I want a human to double check it. Multiple locations didn't exist. For instance, they put the first Mighty Taco on the list was to be the Mighty Taco in Depew. They gave me the address for the Andersons in Depew on transit, but that's not correct, right? You go on, it maps out from one Mighty Taco to the other. It says it's only 7.2 miles. I put that into Google. It was actually 11 miles. So there were some inconsistencies. Now, I have found this also when Googling, I'm sorry, when using AI, and I've said this on the air, as when was Kathy Hochul elected? I put this in because I was trying to make a post. And if you go into an AI, now they've changed it since then. Good thing as I have the screenshot, it says that Kathy Hochul was elected in August of 21. Well, no, she wasn't elected in August of 21. She took the office in August of 21 after Andrew Cuomo had stepped down. So AI is not 100% right. Again, impressive. This Mighty Taco 50K, maybe something, hey, any listeners out there want to put something like that on? It's a great idea, and they give you a lot of great stuff. But 25% of that is not, if you followed it, you would end up at a different restaurant or not a restaurant at all. And that goes into what the BBC found in a study, that AI assistants misrepresent news content 45% of the time, regardless of language or territory. Now, the key findings of this, 45% of AI answers had at least one significant issue. Now, they're talking news content. I'm telling you just regular stuff. And it does seem the more complex the ask of the AI, the more likely something is going to be off, right? Again, you gave me 7 Mighty Tacos. 3 of the 7 in the answer don't exist. Or they exist, but that's not the right address. The map was all over the place, too. They had Niagara Falls Boulevard in Hamburg. That's not accurate. Again, I'm not taking away of how impressive this is. I'm saying nothing beats a human, right? We have human error. And what's the best way to check human error? Another human. AI has error too. And what's the best way to check AI? A human. They go on to say 20% contain major accuracy issues, including details and outdated information. 76% of responses with one of the AIs had significant issues using poor sourcing information. AI assistants were already replacing search engines for many users. 7% of total online news consumers use AI assistants to get their news. And if you look at under 25, people under 25, it's 15%. Now, again, overall, 45, that means 55% of the time, or 55% of the stuff you're getting is accurate. But it's definitely something that needs to be checked by a human. And it's kind of scary when you're, you know, hearing of all these proposed jobs being taken over by AI. I mean, think about what you do. Would your employer be happy if you had a 45% error rate? I guess it depends how much they're paying you. 803-0930, star 930. I want to know how dependent you are on AI. How often do you use artificial intelligence? Do you use the assist? When you search something on Google now, do you just look at the AI overview? Are you a ChatGPT subscriber? Or do you kind of ignore it because you assume, like I found out, maybe if you just put it together yourself, you'd be better off. Now, this, I will go back to say, this gave me a great launching off point. If I ever wanted to put the Mighty Taco 50K together, this is the launching off point I can use. But I would have to, you know, recalculate. It probably would be over 31.4 miles, especially if they think Niagara Falls Boulevard's in Hamburg. So a lot of work to do, but it gave me a great outline, right? And like I said, the same with Kathy Hochul. It told me Kathy Hochul was elected in 21. That is factually untrue. She took office in 21. So just little things to look out for if you're... And don't be ashamed. I mean, more and more people are becoming dependent on artificial intelligence and using these programs. And again, not even scrolling down on Google, they'll just read what AI said. And according to this survey, 55% of the stuff might be true. I mean, it might be all of it might be true. But if something sounds wrong, or if it's a complex question with an extended answer, it's going to need a human to look it up. Just like anything you see on social media these days, because, I mean, AI has fooled so many people. It's sad but funny at the same time. Like the amount of times I'll go, you know, I like to check on Blue Sky just to see what they're talking about. And let me tell you, they're always angry on Blue Sky. It's every day I log into Blue Sky, a majority of the posts are people just angry, mad at the world, everything is Trump's fault. It's very toxic. But of course, I go on there. Hey, I'm still here, right? You know? But the amount of people who will post something that's clearly AI that they think is real, I mean, that number goes up and up. And don't get me wrong, AI graphics have gotten very good. AI videos, AI, you know, AI assisted videos, they've gotten really good. So you just got to be careful when you're out there and be careful what you believe. You know how it used to be, you have to see it with your own eyes? You could still question what you're seeing. I guess in the world of AI, that is true. And don't get me wrong, I think AI does a lot of great stuff. You know, you look at some of these older pictures of Buffalo, and I'm obsessed with the history of Buffalo. There's a listener who sends an email every morning with a picture, you know, of Buffalo back in the day. I love it. I look forward to it every morning. But you see some of these pictures now where AI has enhanced the photo. So it's the photo, but it's a little clearer. If it's a black and white photo, they've added color. Like, I love that, right? And they didn't change any imagery. The person you're looking at, if it's Tanner in a picture from 1945, it's still Tanner in the picture. It's just been touched up to give you a better idea of what you're looking at. I love that. Like, to me, that is that's great use of AI. And these tools are a great use of AI. It has to be checked, right? Great jumping off point for the Mighty Taco 50K. But if we used the ChatGPT map, we'd be lost. We'd be going to other places. But again, it set up a great idea, is my point. So any usage of AI out there, or any times you found AI to be inaccurate, let me know. 803-0930-930. Someone says, I only use ChatGPT free to reword things that I send in an email or for social media posts. It's not accurate enough, in my opinion, to use for other things. I have an AI app on my phone that can make a song about anything at all and make it sound exactly how I want. And I have an entire album of amazing music made in just a few minutes. So I got the free trial of that app for like 3 days. And, you know, I made a bunch of stuff and sent it to people. I thought that was... See, that's amazing. Like, again, it's not real, right? It's AI, but it's amazing. There's a version of Frank Sinatra singing 50 Cent in the club because someone, you know, crossed the two songs or the two artists over. Like, hey, that's funny. It's interesting, right? But, I mean, it's still to the point. I mean, humans make mistakes. AI is always going to make mistakes. My point is, I think that number's a little higher than what people expect when they type something in to an AI assistant. And I'm sure many of you in the audience have found that issue is as well. Some people don't like my idea of the Mighty Taco 50K. Like I said, it's in the spirit of the Taco Bell 50K. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, I'm serious. It's a year away in Denver, Colorado. They're going to do another one. They do it every year. I watched a video where this guy, you know, stopped at all 10. He was able to finish the race in 7 hours. I think it's absolutely, I mean, it takes a lot of training. And, you know, it's one of those things. Do you starve yourself the day before, or do you eat a lot like the week before to stretch out your stomach? I don't know the right answer. But I thought, in the spirit of Buffalo, can we do that with Mighty Taco? There's a ton of Mighty Tacos around. Can we do a Mighty Taco 50K? According to the text board, no one would be interested in running this with me. But I think it would be a nice shout-out to Buffalo. 803-0930, star 930. Any thoughts on AI? I wanted to get to Halloween in the final segment, but there was something else I wanted to get to like 3 days ago and never did. So I'm going to start this now, and we'll see if it goes anywhere. So as you know, my dad and I go to most of the Virginia Tech home games. Not going to the game this year because I am a good father and want to be trick-or-treating with my son. Okay, so can I get the pat on the back? Thank you very much. So we'll not be at the Tech game this weekend. But last weekend, coming back from the Tech game, Tech played Friday, so this was Saturday morning, in West Virginia, I got a speeding ticket. Yes, a speeding ticket. Now, some places that could be trouble because that could mean that you have to either take the points or go back down there and make an appearance. Well, here, they still write their tickets in the county I was in. They still write their tickets out, and they have a phone number you call. So I was able to talk to the, you know, the person at the court, and they put me on hold, and I talked to someone else, and I was able to plea it down and get it with no points if I paid by tomorrow. Pretty good deal. A week later, and this thing is already off my record. Would never be on my record. But it's no points. Yeah, right? I'd rather have the money, but again, no points. And that's great. That's great. This was the first time since 2013 that I got a ticket out of state. And by the way, first time since 2018 that I received any type of traffic ticket. I had not gotten any kind of ticket since I met my wife. So the streak is broken. And don't worry, yes, I texted Mazurowski the night of. I waited a little bit, but I did let Brian know that I got a speeding ticket. So he knows the streak is over. He was the first in the loop. I want to know from you your experience with getting traffic tickets in other states What was your best experience? I've only had two. One was in my dad's hometown, and I believe he took care of it. I don't mean he paid it. He paid it, but he got it to not be a problem, if I remember that ticket correctly. This one, pretty easy. Yes, it hurt the pocketbook, but, I mean, we're not even a week later, and that thing is, it's settled, it's done, don't have to worry about it, right? 803-0930, *930 is the number to get on. Traffic tickets out of state, your experience, and to our Ontario friends, what's it like when you get a traffic ticket in the States? Back after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
If a boy had a chance with someone like you.
Joe, why Electric Blue by Icehouse? Yesterday, I was just doom scrolling on social media, and there's this account I follow where it's, you know, bring back the 80s. Now, I was born in the 80s, but I don't remember when I was two. So I'm obsessed with 80s aesthetics, 80s music, 80s movies, all that stuff. Anyway, this account walked through the Galleria Mall in York, Pennsylvania. And, I mean, it's just, like, right out of the 80s. Like, all the imagery and stuff, it never changed, like, from when it opened. And that song was playing in the background. So that's where I came up with Electric Blue when Tanner said, what do you want to come back with? 803-0930, *930. I got a speeding ticket out of state in West Virginia. What's your experience getting a speeding ticket out of New York State? And for our Ontario friends, I would love to know what it's like for you to get a speeding ticket in the States. Let's go to Clarence, where Keith is. Keith, what's your experience?
Hey, so yeah, no, I'm not perfect in driving, I'll be honest. You know, I've gotten a ticket in West Virginia and in Virginia. So, look, I'm down North Carolina, you know, you kind of get down some of those side roads, you know, like going, yeah, let's keep moving, and all of a sudden you get the hills. But both times I got a ticket, one was 4 years ago in West Virginia. The trooper told me straight up, he goes, oh, we don't report to New York, so don't worry about it. Just plead guilty to the 5 points and you're done. Just pay a ticket and you have a good day. Heard the same thing last year from Virginia. Oh, we don't talk with New York. We don't see their driving records. We don't report to New York. So ticket stays local. And I've heard that twice. And then I can go back to 2004 when I actually lived in Massachusetts. And they told me I had to flip over there because I was military at the time. And they go to me when I got back to New York, they go, oh, your ticket? No, we don't talk to other states about their driver's license. We don't share information. So that was 2004. So I'm not sure what New York does. I just know that New York doesn't share their information with other states. So.
And what about the effects on insurance? Did you notice anything from that?
Nothing. Never even reported.
Awesome.
Never even reported. New York State DMV didn't see it. They didn't report it to insurance companies. It stayed right there. So nothing.
It's funny because the cop, you know, gave me a pass. He did not write the ticket for what he pulled me over going. And when I called the clerks, they still write their tickets in West Virginia, which is funny. They put a sticker on the bottom to call this number with the clerk. And they, I mean, they gave me a deal right off the bat. They go, you do this. I mean, they, I did not know that about points. Maybe I shouldn't have taken the deal. They go, you pay us this by close of business Friday. We won't report any points. So maybe they were just trying to scare me into paying right away. But that's good to know for future instances.
Yeah, and I didn't plea anything down. I just paid, okay, we're going to give you your West Virginia. I was 10 miles over the speed limit, paid the ticket. Virginia, 5 miles over speed limit. Well, a little more than five. They reduced it for me, being nice, of course. But yeah, I paid right up and no points, no nothing.
So, Keith, what roads were you on? Do you remember?
Let's see. I drive down North Carolina. I drive some weird roads, like 81 and 219 through PA, and get down there. I got my ticket now, Allegheny Park, or Allegheny State Park or whatever it is down there. And then in West Virginia, I got it right just cutting through before I got into parts of North Carolina, before I got into Virginia. Like, oh, come on, really?
Oh, they got you. Yeah.
Always on a hill. Always on a hill, too. Always coming down a hill.
Keith,
so.
That's how they put the new decorations up at Christmas time. It's with your speeding ticket.
Yeah, and they got their money. But, hey, like I said, no points. Didn't report to insurance. Didn't even come back to New York State, so I was happy with it.
It's beautiful to know. Thank you, Keith. Keith and Clarence. Yeah, I mean, you know, when this is in New York State, too. When you go through a smaller town, you're on, you know, when you're on a highway, right? I don't mean the expressway. I mean the highway. And it's, you know, up to 55. And, you know, all of a sudden you're going through Philadelphia, New York, and it drops down to 35 miles an hour, right? I mean, that's the case in Virginia, too. Now, we were on Route 19. Route 19, for the most part, is 65 miles an hour. And we had just, now my dad's going to debate me on this one, but he's, you know, he could be yelling at the radio. He's not here. It was just after the sign had changed, right? So would I have still been speeding at 65 miles an hour? Yes. However, I was told if you're under 9, you're fine. If you're over 9, you're mine. I thought that was the motto. But I had the sign had just gone from 65 miles to 50 miles because we were getting close to Summersville. We weren't at Summersville yet. We were getting close to Summersville. And you would think after all these years of going back and forth between Tech and Buffalo, I would know exactly when the speed changes. I don't. Especially at 8:50-something in the morning when we didn't get back to the hotel from the game until 1:30. So that's not an excuse. I was wrong. I'm gonna pay for this. But my point is, just so you all know, I was right at the sign changing. But you notice this when you go through towns, right? And some of it's necessary, right? Like, you go through a town like Summersville where it's kind of built up. Okay, fine. Going 65 through there would be ridiculous with all the traffic lights. 50 makes sense. Then you go through some other towns where it's like, nothing's really changed here. The road's the exact same. No one's crossing the street. We're just going through a town, and there's a cop at the beginning of the speed limit and right before the end of the speed limit. There's this town in Virginia. In 2013, when I got my other speeding ticket in the state of Virginia, it was, like I said, in my dad's hometown. And they do that because on Route 460, you can go 65 miles an hour. And then you come up on the Welcome to Narrows sign, and all of a sudden it's 40 miles an hour. And that's where they got me. Again, this was 2013. And they got me right on the drop from 65 to 45. And then you have to go 40. Again, in Narrows, no one's crossing that street. Like, that does... I'd love to know what the thought is. The thought is we can get you on a speeding ticket passing through town. Where it drops down to 40 in Narrows, Virginia, there's no pedestrians. It's not less lanes. It's not all built up. There's a Burger King and two gas stations. But for some reason, for this little stretch, they go down to 40 miles an hour. That's where I got caught in 2013. Like I said, this one last week on Route 19 through West Virginia, I understand why the speed limit drops for Somersville. I think it drops a little earlier than it should. But again, I'm not passing off blame. It was my fault, and I take full responsibility. 803-0930, star 930. What has been your experience getting a speeding ticket or any kind of traffic ticket out of state? Has anyone ever gone up to Canada and gotten a ticket? Has anyone up in Ontario gotten a ticket down here in the States? You know, when they hand you the New York State ticket. Now, it's been a while since I received a New York State ticket. But I believe Ontario has a dot under where the license plate is, right? It's, you know, New York, Ontario, other, something like that. Bob in Buffalo. Hello. Bob, what was your out-of-state ticket experience?
Okay. First off, I got a ticket in Ohio after getting off the interstate. And actually, it turned out not to be a ticket. The officer talked to me, and he said, "We noticed you were, you know, you're speeding up." And then he was slowing down. Then he slowly sped up again. Then he quick slowed down. And I explained I'd been on the interstate with a car, in a rental car without cruise control. What they ended up giving me was a green ticket, and it was titled "A Friendly Reminder." And this stated that I'd been clocked at a certain speed and reminding me to please slow down. And they give them out sometimes instead of the actual tickets.
Well, they did you a favor because, you know, you would think knowing you're from out of town or out of state, it's most likely you're not going to show up for the court date. So that's instant money into their pocket.
Yep, but they said they followed me a while and explained I got off the highway because I'm driving down to this next crossroad where I was going to grab a hotel for the night. And it was late at night, no other traffic. And he said, "We watched you. You were slowly speeding up, and then he slowed down. Then he quick slowed down. Then he slowly inched up again, and he quick slowed down." And I said, "I've been on an interstate for 8 hours today. I'm used to 65 and no cruise control. So the car, an unfamiliar car just got creeping up on me, and I noticed that." And they were nice that day.
They were. They were, Bobby. You got lucky there in Ohio. Thank you so much, Bob, in Buffalo. You know, and I did everything right, by the way, after I got pulled over. You know, I pulled over. I had the license and registration. And he said, "Do you know why he pulled you over?" Now, when I was younger, when I was first getting pulled over for traffic violations, I would always say, "I have no idea." But I'm always honest now. And I thought maybe I'd get off with a warning. Again, I think Bob was very lucky there in Ohio, because I think when you're out of state, it's almost instant they're going to give you the ticket. How many of you are actually going to get in your car or, you know, fly or whatever and go back and contest the ticket in court? Now, if it's like the good folks in where is this again? Fayetteville County, West Virginia, where you can do all that over the phone if the ticket's within reason. Yes, Fayetteville Municipality in Fayette County. You know, again, they do it great. I didn't have to go back down there, and it was all fine. But I mean, it's not all fine. I still have to pay the ticket, but you get the point. I would think it's almost an instant. Almost an instant. I've gotten pulled over twice out of state, and both times I've gotten a ticket. Now, those two times were more than a decade apart, and as I said, I hope I don't start crashing down again and get to the point where the punchline was, "Did Joe get a ticket?" If you remember back when I used to do Saturday morning programming, there were a few Saturdays where I was late because I got a ticket on my way here. And that became the running joke around this place. So I'm hoping this is not, you know, I'm promising it's not. You know, I've got a kid in the car. I'm not going to be speeding. I'm not going to be doing anything stupid. It's just, you know, unfortunately, the streak is over. I was hoping the streak could go to 10 years without any kind of speeding or traffic ticket. It didn't. That's fine. And you know what? We'll pay this and we'll move on and we'll remember where that speed sign changes in right outside of Somersville, West Virginia. And we bring on now, coming up next on this eve of Halloween, Tom Bowerly.
Well, you know, I know it's Halloween Eve, but do you think I should maybe pull out a ghost show again, or should I hold off on that, Joe? I'm so confused.
hold off until tomorrow, you're saying?
Well, I'm kind of would be appropriate, no?
Yeah, I would think so. But, this was something I didn't get to today, but Halloween's really becoming an adult holiday. I know several people who are off of work tomorrow because of Halloween.
Yes. Well, an adult. Okay, let me ask you a question because I'm going through a little something domestically, okay?
All right.
You think it would be, is it normal for a grown man to not want to get dressed up on Halloween?
Yeah, I think that's pretty normal. I think
that was my way of saying, okay, all right, it's normal. Okay, so if a guy who is an adult male wants to dress up on Halloween, do you form any judgments?
There has to be context, Tom. There has to be, Tanner and I, we're going to dress up tomorrow, but the costume I got was the wrong fit. If you're dressing up for like a party or to go trick or treating with your kids, I'm not passing any judgment.
Good. Well, we might get into that a little bit because you kind of stole my thunder a little bit there, Joe.
Oh,
you're talking
sorry.
About Halloween. Oh, dude, you can steal my thunder all you want. Do you have any idea how much I steal from you?
It's an honor every time I tell you that.
I mean, no, actually, as I've said, it's not really stealing. It is assimilation and osmosis. Your brilliance comes through to my brain. But I'm wondering out there, you mentioned people's homes and adult holidays and Halloween is huge in terms of decorating and people spending money on getting their houses together. And I want to talk a little bit about that because for some people, it's all about Halloween and it's not about, it's not so much about Christmas, which of course means we have many Satanists in the audience.
The Halloween party for adults, I knew there were a lot of Halloween parties when I was in college because Tom, we would party for anything. Like, we had a party because Jersey Shore was coming back. But it seems now, adults my age and older are, the party's about them. Yeah, the kids go trick-or-treating. We're gonna stay back and have a few beverages while the kids are out getting candy. They're making it about themselves.
Well, I do think that the greatest candy bar, the greatest candy ever, must at some point come into play in this conversation we're going to have today. Yesterday, Joe, we had a tremendous show. And one of the things I also want to do today is follow up on that, because there is a specific question that came up that I believe needed to be hammered more. It was a nail waiting to be hammered, and it was not properly hammered.
Oh,
it deals with the American dream.
Yes. What do you? I'll have to tune in at 3.
Oh, that's called a tease. Kind of a klutzy tease.
Yeah, I love
Irv Weinstein was the king of teases. He was the best. We can't even approach Irv's breath.
No, not at all. They're not chanting our name at the stadium, Tom.
I was going to say something, but we would have gotten fined by the FCC. But I said this yesterday at this time, Joe, words to this effect, and I mean these words very, very much. You are actually the epitome. You are a poster man for the genuine work ethic that exists with younger generations from old farts like me. And one thing I do want to mention, Joe, before I let you go and get really pumped and amped and psyched for my show. Get off my lawn. Get off my lawn.
Now, getting psyched and pumped up for the show, do you like hit yourself in the face like we see NFL players do? And you start jumping up and down?
No, actually, I have a statue of Tim Wenger, and what I do is I genuflect, and I beg, first of all, absolution for the sins I may have committed, and then complete and total forgiveness from the Biden auto pen of those sins which I am about to commit. Heresy against radio.
Oh, I'm telling you, a Tim Wenger statue, that's going to come up in a dream at some point, I can tell you right now.
The worst part is when the statue basically vivifies and animates, and it comes to life, and it walks all over the house. Stay on topic, Tom. Stay on topic.
Tom Bowerly will be up after.
By the way, he's absolutely right. And keeping those words in mind, staying on topic, keeping things on the rails, that is so helpful. Getting right into the topic, great advice. And I'm trying to do that as much as possible. You know why? Because it works.
Let me tell you, it does. It does. I have tried, and I think I'm getting a little better at keeping it on topic and not talking too much about the Taco Bell 50K as Joe, I did earlier.
Joe, tremendous respect from me to you. And yeah. I'm pretty sure David Bellavia and Lisa and Tim feel the same way.
Well, thank you, Tom. Always great to hear Tom Bowerly after the news with Tom Puckett. I do have to make one note, talking about Halloween, talking about Spirit and people getting in. The Spirit Halloween store in the old Bye Bye Baby at the Niagara Falls Boulevard Mall will become Spirit Christmas on Saturday. And you know I'm excited for that. Tom Bowerly, I'm also
spirit
excited.
Spirit of Christmas past, present, or future?
It's the spirit of all Christmas. They're taking out the Halloween and putting Christmas in the name for the next 2 months.
Very good. Very well. Very well.
I'm very excited for that, and I'm sure it'll come up next week on the show. Tom Bowerly is up next after the news with Tom Puckett. I want to thank Greg Tranter and Bud Bailey for joining me and talking about their new book, One Bills Drive, The Greatest Bills Games, Home Bills Games Between 73 and 25. Make sure you go out and get it. And I think the 50-day picks of the ones that I know are great games. It's a great selection. Again, I thank them so much for coming to the show and joining us today. Tom is next. After Tom, I'll talk to you tomorrow at 1 on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.